Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Education for CUSD 303. This is Monday, May 14th, 2018, and it's 7 o'clock. Mrs. Ratchford, would you take the roll, please?
Yes. Mrs. Fairgreen?
Here.
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally is absent. Mrs. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here.
And Mrs. Ratchford, may I say, everyone that was supposed to be here, except for Mr. McNally, is here tonight. It is wonderful to have you back at the board table.
It is.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Here.
Here. Yes,
here. Okay. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is actually the last school board meeting for the school, while school is in session for the 2017-2018 year, so we've almost made it through another year. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any citizen comments, and there is one. Mrs. Linkemer, would you please read the note that we always read? Thank you.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you very much. We have one speaker tonight, and it is Kate Bell. Oh, welcome. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
I have two children in the district, one at East, kind of, and one at Redline. I'm here because people are looking to me to be the voice that they are afraid to have. And while I might understand why they might be nervous to speak out, because then it identifies them or their children who are having issues in the district, or they feel like they'll be retaliated against for whatever reason, I don't fear that because I only have my children to lose. And I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep trying to tell you what people are asking me to say, because for me personally, I don't know everyone else's reason, but I won't risk my child's life over nervousness of coming to speak to you. So today I just want to ask that you keep working towards goals that you have for these kids, because they really need your help. There's so much going on, and it's so much harder now for teens growing up than it ever was for me personally, and I really think that we need to be strong for them and support them. You see teachers in the school see them much longer each day during the school year than their families do, and really have to step up and support them. One thing I would like to say is that it's very disappointing that it's not been made public yet, or there's not a lot of communication about the new anonymous tip line. I'm really excited it's here, but I have yet to see any documents or anything come out publicly. Maybe I missed it, but I did actually ask on my way here another couple parents to make sure I wasn't the only one that hadn't seen it. I think it's great. I'm so glad it's here. It's really unfortunate it took so many months to get it, but it's awesome that it's here. And I just want to keep coming and reminding you that whatever is going on that you can talk about, that you're not talking about to the public, they're left to make up their own minds. I've got parents, children, staff coming to me saying, please be our voice. One thing I would like to say before I leave is that it breaks my heart to hear staff members that are in the support staff community here at St. Charles and asking me, please speak up, because we've spoken up and we haven't been helped and we haven't been heard. And that is, I don't know what to say to that other than it's unfortunate. And you can't fire me because I don't work here. So I can say what they are afraid to, which is they need help, they need better training and more support so they can do their jobs and help these kids.
Thank you. That concludes citizen comments for today. Next item on the agenda is the superintendent's report. I'm sorry, Dr. Pearson.
Yes, good evening. Thank you. We have a couple of recognitions that we would like to do tonight, and so we'll do those first since we have some guests at our board meeting. Tonight is a night when we want to recognize our new National Board Certified teachers. We actually have four that have received their National Board Certification this year. Two of them could be with us this evening, and two of them could not. So I'm just going to mention them, and then the ones that are here, I'm going to have them stand, and I'm going to have them tell us just a little bit about the process. It's actually been a couple of months now since they had received their results, and so we are glad that they were able to join us this evening. So with us tonight are Mrs. Genevieve Zakas, who is an English teacher at East High School. There's Genevieve. And then Mrs. Jennifer Amade, who is a language arts teacher at Redling Middle School. We also had two additional members receive their certification this year, Mr. Matthew Ballman, who is a science teacher at East, and Mr. Brian Wright, who is also a science teacher at East High School. So ladies, I don't know if either one of you, Ms. Amade, why don't you tell us just a little bit about how the process goes for the certification?
The process is, the way that it works here is we were offered an opportunity to be part of a cohort that would extend over a 2-year period of time. The National Board Certification process can be achieved in a single year, and I think in most cases it was intended to do that, but the district offered, I think in conjunction with the state, a cohort program,
yep,
which split it into meetings every week. 3 or 4 weeks with the cohort people that were all pursuing a certification in their personal areas. So that was last year and the year prior. So met with people who were elementary and middle school, and we had some guides also from also the district who had already achieved National World Board certification. There are 4 components that we have to complete. We split those each 2 and 2 each of the 2 years. So and then one of the tests is
great. Thank you. Ms. Zakas, could you maybe tell us just a couple of things that you feel like this process has done for you as a teacher in our district? How has it helped you?
Absolutely. I think the number one thing that National Board Certification has done for me and for my colleagues who have gone through the process is just reinforcing the principles of good teaching that we already believe in, that we already talk about with our colleagues, and just makes you reflect on every single thing you do for every single kid in your classroom. I think for me, National Board has helped me think about what am I doing for every single student to make sure that they're maximizing their whole learning. There's a whole component on differentiation and making sure that you are actually giving those students the growth opportunities that they deserve. So it just kind of reinforced the principles that I already valued and keeps them at the forefront of my teaching.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you. We know that this takes tremendous time and effort on your part, independent of your daily work and routine. And so we appreciate the time that you've invested in getting this certification. And we recognize how it helps our students in our district. So thank you so much for that. If you'd like to come up, we have a small token of appreciation. I'm going to ask Ms. Huell actually to hand these to you. This is just a small token. We've been giving our National Board Certified teachers some district business cards over the last couple of years, and we just want to recognize your accomplishment. Thank you for coming. I did want to mention, board members, that we did put some information at your table tonight about our National Board Certification Program. We are a part of the National Board Resource Center that is in Illinois, run by Illinois State University. This program actually allows us to have a cohort of teachers to go through the program. The assessment is actually quite expensive. It's about $1,900, I think, to do the whole process. And there's a grant that's available through Illinois State that offsets the cost of that assessment. I actually think it's the whole amount. Is it the whole amount? Yes. Yeah, it's the whole amount. So teachers are able to do that. I think it's also important to note that the National Board Resource Center did release some information about the top districts in Illinois for nationally board certified teachers, and we're actually number 3 in the state, behind Chicago Public Schools, which is number 1, and then the second highest is Indian Prairie School District, which is also a significantly larger district than ours. So it speaks to the commitment of both the board, because I know that you made it a priority several years ago to support teachers in this process, but also to the educators in our district and their willingness to go through and do what is a very rigorous process to be recognized for their expertise in their content area. So thank you both for being here, and I appreciate all that our teachers do to continue to grow in their professional learning to serve our students. Just a couple of other things that I wanted to note. You received a copy of the Illinois Manufacturer Magazine, which is the publication of the Illinois Manufacturing Association. I put it in your superintendent's report a couple of weeks ago, and in it we actually are featured. Our Project Lead the Way program at the middle school is featured, as well as some other programs across the state at the high school level. The Illinois Manufacturing Association has been a strong supporter of our Project Lead the Way program, and they recognize how Project Lead the Way does prepare students for careers, not only in engineering, but also in manufacturing and other sectors. So we were excited to have the opportunity to be featured in that publication. You may also have seen the press release last week related to the U.S. News and World Report on our high schools. Both of our high schools were ranked in the U.S. News and World Report rankings of America's best high schools. And so they are both in the top 25 in Illinois, and that recognition was shared. And we also have put the designation on the high school websites. We have one more introduction to do for you this evening, and I would like to introduce Mr. Tim Laversky, and he's going to introduce the person that's with him this evening.
Good evening, everyone. I was expecting a much bigger crowd back here and hoping, but we love you guys. I'd like to introduce Dr. Patrick McGuire. He may look familiar to many of you, as he's a returnee to District 303. Just to give you a little history, Patrick taught at Fox Ridge and then was at Redling for several years before leaving to become an assistant principal and athletic director at Jefferson Junior High in Woodridge. So he left us for a year and is now back. A little educational history is he got his BA from Judson along with his master's, and then he got his doctorate from Aurora University. So he has some great experience. We had a rigorous process. We pre-screened about 16 candidates for our assistant principal position, brought it down to 6 candidates for interviews, and then brought the best home. So it really shows you that the training and the work we do here in St. Charles, the leadership we do, really pays off. And he worked under Steve Morrill for many years and saw some great leadership there as well. So we're excited to have him back. I did ask Pat to speak just for a second about what would be one thing that he wanted to tell you about his leadership.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank all of you for the great opportunity for returning. Sometimes I share with some of you, the path isn't always straight. Sometimes you have a detour, but you always sometimes find a way back home. So I'm very thankful and grateful for this opportunity. One thing that I think came through as a teacher, now as an administrator, is I'm passionate about leadership and I'm passionate about kids. At the end of the day, when I'm making decisions, I always think about what is that decision and what impact is that going to have on kids? That's the forefront of my decision-making process. I'm very collaborative, and I'm very excited for the opportunity to work under Tim and return back at Redling, which is a wonderful place with so many happy and wonderful memories here. So thank you so much for the opportunity, and I look forward to working with all of you moving forward.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks. Okay, and that concludes the superintendent's report.
Wonderful. All good news. Thank you, Dr. Pearson. The next item on the agenda are the committee reports. We had a lot of committees. That's what happens when you get a little backlogged. But I think I'll just... I think I'll go with them as we usually do. We'll start with learning and teaching because that's our business. And I don't know how you'd like to handle it, two separate meetings or whatever. So, Mr. McNally.
There were two separate meetings. You should probably buckle in because they were two long meetings. So I'm going to try to be as brief as I can because all this stuff is posted. So I'm going to try to just highlight as best I can. You can poke me in the ribs if I'm talking too much.
I'll smack you over the head.
Our first was April 16th. We had two, April 16th and April 23rd. The first meeting was April 16th. And real quickly, recognitions for Virtual Enterprises International from St. Charles North took first place in Illinois Business Plan Competition at Northern Illinois and advanced to the national competition in New York City. District 303 7th and 8th grade Infinity students submitted entries to the National Geographic Society Geo Challenge. 10 teams from Redling Middle School represented St. Charles at regionals on April 6th. They took four of the top five awards, including most compelling call to action and best teamwork. And the Bilingual Parent Advisory Committee did celebrate on April 29th at the Thompson campus right here from 4 o'clock till noon, the Day of the Child. And they had stories, books, games, clowns. I got a photo sent to me of the clown. It looked like it was kind of a neat thing. Moving on to the information, we had the D303 Special Olympics team. Shauna Fowlo introduced the Olympians to the audience, celebrated their successes. And D303 Special Olympics team for elementary and middle school age children. Sorry, I shouldn't try to talk too fast. We began with two sports, track and bowling, with 21 athletes in 2016, and we've added two, basketball and bocce, with 35 athletes now. We had an opportunity to take a photo with the Special Olympians as well. The Davis and Primary Richmond Intermediate Instructional Program was presented. Background for the creation of that was we have the one school on two campuses, the only one that's in that situation in the district. And the reason was we needed to enrich the environment at Richmond to address challenges there. Programming allowed time to address needs of schools according to feedback from community and based on research. And the program was approved by the school board in March 2011. There was some amendment to that in 2013 as well, after we had some meetings. So, and I can't. I'm trying to recall the summit meeting. Thank you, summit meeting. what we have similar there to the other D303 elementary schools. Core curriculum is the same. The AT program, orchestra and band, and the specials, art, music, PE, and LRC, are the same there. The differences are, at Richmond, they have a longer day. They have SciTech instruction for every student, 40 minutes twice a week. And they also have foreign language. And they have one-to-one technology. Let's see. There has been an increase in performance in language arts and math over the last few years. The increase in parent satisfaction as well. Requests to remain at Richmond when school choice is offered. And they have been an Apple Distinguished School. There was at that point, we're going to try to get a little bit more data on some of the things regarding increases in performance, because some of those things I think we might want to look at for rolling out to the rest of the district. And things like percentages for year to year and determine what programs were in place when and how they might have had an impact and what other factors might be responsible for increases in performance. Okay, next up, honors wait for dual credit and project lead the way. Dr. Byrne presented this, and the reason for the proposal is that we felt the weight should match the course rigor and requests from students, families, and teachers for honors weight. Most of the surrounding schools do offer honors weight for these courses, and they can receive college credit for scoring proficient or better on the final exam. And honors weight was also requested for accelerated college and dual credits since they are also college level courses. Next up was classroom libraries and book room purchases for Anderson Elementary, Davis Primary, and Richmond Intermediate. And I'm not going to go through all the purposes of a classroom library because I think we've been through that. But ultimately, why do we want to do this? Well, we want to increase the number of books that the kids can have so teachers can observe readers. They can have self-selected books as well. And the teachers can use some of the specific texts. There is a budget impact on this item. Davis, $37,000. Richmond, $37,649. Davis, $103,340. And Anderson, $70,800. And so that's going to be on the consent agenda. And then health occupations, too. And Dr. Byrne, Mrs. Baer, and Megan Merkachan, had been notified there are fewer opportunities at Delnor Hospital for observation in this course. So they're recommending the course be changed from a two-credit course to a one-credit course. And hospital regulations of security have made the observations at Delnor less available. And as an alternative, we're working with ECC to expand opportunities there. So that's one meeting. It's only one. Let me get back here. And on the 23rd, okay, on the 23rd, we recognized Sarah Rosenfeld, a senior at East High School, recognized as Chicago Tribune West Region Community Choice Athlete of the Year. She's going to be attending University of Alabama Birmingham on a full scholarship to play basketball next year. And she's also our all-time leading scorer for girls basketball at St. Charles East. Dr. Melissa Byrne, I almost called her St. Melissa Byrne, Dr. Melissa Byrne, Assistant Director of Curriculum, that would have been a real accomplishment, has been chosen to serve the Northern Illinois P20 College and Career Pathways Action Team. She'll be helping to develop pathways for manufacturing, engineering, and business finance. And 14 D303 students have received AP and PLTW Achievement Awards. To earn this award, they must earn 3 qualifying scores in a pathway, 1 AP exam score of 3 or higher, a PLTW assessment score of proficient or higher, and a third score of either of the above. The D303 student achievements were in the areas of engineering and biomedical science. Next up was photography 1 and 2 curriculum resources, and we looked at the course descriptions for photography 1 and 2. As well as the course curriculum maps. Resources that are needed are computers, printers, projectors, software, and cameras. You'd need those for a photography course, I'd imagine. Total budget of $133,354 is the impact, and again, that's a consent item. SciTech curriculum resources. So we looked at the curriculum map and looked at resources needed for that. We need gardening supplies and makerspace supplies for a total budget of $7,000, budget impact of $7,000. Advantage Math, AVMR course approval. AVMR is a diagnostic tool that helps teachers pinpoint specific math needs of students and gives guidance for helping students areas of difficulties, and there are two levels of AVMR offered. I don't know that there's a specific budget impact. Was there a budget impact on that one? I didn't see that in the minutes.
Yes, sir. We do pay for the training.
Okay, I didn't see the number in the minutes, and I that may have been my, I was having technical difficulties with this before, so it is, but that is on for approval. District 303 Transition Services. it's a program designed to serve young adults ages 18 to 22 in post-secondary environments to support educational, vocational, and or community learning opportunities as recommended by their IEP plan, IEP team. Areas of focus include employment, recreation, leisure, education, training, and independent living and self-care skills. Young adults may also have experience at college and or community vocational work training sites. It is essential transition students are provided in an environment that includes full access to the vocational community and daily living tasks essential to developing independence within their home community. Started in 2016, that was Connections, Mid-Valley SAIL program, that's Student Attaining Independent Living. Bridges program started in 2009, and private day school placements as well. We're trying to provide full continuum of services within the district, and we talked about shifts in staffing allocations, community-based instruction, vocational experiences, micro-business opportunities, and local business partnerships and alliances with the envision of expanding them. We're almost done. Next up is social-emotional learning. We saw a little video on the overview of social-emotional learning, and we looked at what the competencies are, and those competencies are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, and responsible decision-making attained through the SEL curriculum and instruction, school-wide practices and policies, and family and community partnerships. And the D303 support services that we have to that end are school social workers, psychologists, and counselors, student support specialists, and student assistance counselors. And we have Tier 1. The Tier 1 is the wellness pre-K through grade 12 to promote and enhance health and well-being through the use of effective communication and decision-making skills. Middle school specific awareness of sadness, depression, coping strategies, accessing support, reporting concerns in social media, and high school specific suicide impact, identifying risk behaviors, behavior factors, and identifying protective factors. Tier 2 interventions and support include student support teams, outside agencies, and community supports. And I think this is the last item. It is the last item. Was class size guidelines. So we just kind of had a reminder of the D303 vision to attain excellence, learn with passion, live with integrity in a changing world, and our commitments to provide innovative learning experiences for students, hire and retain high-quality staff members, and be responsible stewards of the community's resources. So the elementary class sizes are determined by total enrollment divided into the appropriate number of sections. Class sizes are planned for approximately 24 to 27. If it's over 27, students may be sent to another nearby school, and there are some unique situations that would require individual to be addressed individually. Secondary, determined by the needs of the course, physical space, course resources needed, student enrollment, and student needs. Class size fluctuations may occur as a result of student movement through the day, class enrollment increase or decrease, programs such as band, orchestra, enrichment classes, AT, and so forth. Special self-contained programs have specific mandates, so we had to work within those guidelines, and enrollment trends were also presented. Student intra-district choice was reviewed, and if I recall correctly, everyone who has requested choice has gotten choice, is that? And I don't think we're exceeding the recommended guidelines in any of the schools, at least so far. We're on track, so. And now I can breathe, I'm done.
If any more reports, I'll just pile up. No.
Yeah. We only have one meeting next month. I do want to just mention that. May 21st, up for discussion, but not necessarily going to be on that, but future items are math, elementary purchases, science consumable purchases, cursive writing and handwriting curriculum, school-wide waivers and plans for Title I, elementary music performances, and an update on ESSA. Now, they're not likely all going to be on May 21st because that would be another long meeting, so...
Mm-hmm.
But those are some of the items that may be on the agenda.
Well, if it meant that we didn't have a June meeting,
Thank now you. I'm really done.
Thank you. And that's a week from
Yes, one today. Week from today.
Yeah. Thank you very much,
Thank you.
Ms. McNally. Our next significant meeting is the Business Services Committee. Mr. Mannheim?
Yeah, thank you. We met on April 25th, and like Mr. McNally, we had a lot of topics to talk about. So I'll get started. Our first two items, as always, are the financial reports for Mid-Valley as well as D303, and those are in your packet for information. Our next item is item C. Dr. Chapman gave us a brief presentation on how the state is using their evidence-based funding and how they're going to start funding districts across the state, at least for the time being, as we know it could always change, but at least for next year, that's how it's going to be. So that was for information. Our next item was two-way radios for the district. This is something new that we're bringing to the district. This is to help with our communication between administrators in the event of, you know, something happening or whatever, and the phones are down, that administrators are able to communicate with each other from school to school. And that's on for consent. Our next few items are pertaining to some technology upgrades. Item E was the wireless access points and controllers as are continuing to update our schools. That's on for consent. Our next item was the AV setup at Davis Primary and Richmond Intermediate Gymnasiums. That's on for consent. Uninterruptible power supplies, on for consent. Backup and data system recovery solution, on consent. The Eaton Intelligent Power Manager, on for consent. And that was the end of our technology. Those are all on for consent. And as I'll talk about for the construction things, those are all things that we'll jump into right away as kids are out of school, which is right around the corner. Our next item was the IMRF unfunded liability. And Dr. Chapman gave a presentation to the committee about our options for that and how they would pertain to our budget. And I believe Dr. Chapman's going to give us a brief synopsis at the end of our meeting tonight for information. So the prelude to that, which was our amended budget, which was placed on display on May 7th, included that. And we will have a public hearing at our June 11th board meeting to adopt our revised 17-18 budget. Our next item was setting the amount of the Treasury surety bond. This is kind of something we have to do every year for Dr. Chapman, and it's based on our budget number, and it's kind of what we have to do. There's not really much we can do. So that's on for consent. Our next item, review bids of district-wide waste removal and recycling services. Mr. Baird went out for bids for that, and we are staying with the same vendor as they came in under, and that's on for consent. Our next items are construction items that we'll jump on here in the summer, which reviewed quotes for the contract for Munhol Elementary Floor Asbestos Abatement, and then that's on for consent, as well as the gym floor replacement. So after the asbestos abatement's done, the floor replacement can begin. Our next item was the Wasco Elementary School painting, and that's on for consent, as well as the Redling Middle School LRC painting is on for consent. Our next item was the Bell Graham and Wasco tile floor replacement. That's on for consent. Next two items was purchasing of two facility vehicles from the state contract. On for consent. Our next item was our annual approval of existing safety hazards, and that's just something we do every year, and that's on for consent. Our next item was the renewal of the K-8 food management service contract with Aramark for next year, and then I believe next year we are going out for bid on food services.
Correct.
Yep. Are we doing that for all of it, right? K-12. So then our next item after that, which was the renewal of the high school food management service contract with Aramark for 18-19. And as I mentioned, we will be going out for bid next year. Our next item was the K-8 and high school a la carte proposed pricing. Minor changes, I think it was maybe like half dozen items that changed like a nickel or 10 cents. And that's on for consent. Our next item, the Norris Center restoration update, which is now happy to say is done. Everything's fully operational. Everything looks great over there. Can't say enough good things about it. So, and then our last item was our construction update. Mr. Lamp gave us an update of where we were, but as you saw the email from Mr. Lamp, a lot of things have been happening. Things are moving along now that we got good weather. So if anybody wants to get a tour, contact Mr. Lamp and see all the exciting things that are happening at Thompson. Then our next meeting will be May 24th. And a couple of highlights of things we'll be talking about: the annual subscription renewal for Unify, renewal of Scantron, IMRF authorized agent, our first draft of our 18-19 budget, substitute pay, review of quotes for the annual bleacher, backstop, curtain, divider, and batting cage inspections. We'll set the business service meeting updates, or meeting dates, not updates. And then we'll, as once again, we'll hear a construction update. That is it, unless you'd like me to briefly touch on the safety committee. Okay. Yes. So we had our second safety committee meeting last Friday. Not quite as long. So some of the things we talked about, Ms. Smith talked, and Mr. Smith actually talked to us about the website updates and some things that are going to be start coming forward. I think you heard the hotline is kind of getting started. So they're working out some bugs. So I believe the goal is once everything's worked out, then we're going to, you know, make an announcement of that it's live and everything. So we're just kind of working out all the bugs and everything for that. As well as touched on some the behavioral threat assessment training that we've started. And I believe there's 30 new people, 30 spots for this coming summer. And they're working on the dates for that. But that's for staff. And I believe there's actually going to be a couple of parents that participate this time on it, too.
Is it a brand new program?
No. It has been
around two years.
Yeah. You know, so far we have a total of 90. Is that correct?
I don't know how many we have total certified, but
we have about 90 people.
That's 90. Correct.
There's behavioral threat assessment one and behavioral threat assessment two. One is so you understand the process, what you look for, how you create teams in your school that analyze this information, and there's actually a tool that they can use to help with that. And then two goes deeper into kind of planning for implementation of the behavioral threat assessment process in your district or school or community. So,
So I guess I'll just a little further. So the teachers that go through the number one section, the first part, do they naturally go on to the second part? Is it a natural thing or only some do it?
So I think it might be good to have more information presented about the whole process. It's a team process that's similar to our teams that look at student needs on the academic side. It's a team that helps you look at threats and information about students on the behavioral side. Mm-hmm. So it's a mirror process to what we do for academics. But it's for behavioral issues. So, and it can happen because there's a crisis situation that brings a student to the attention of the staff, or it can be a pattern of behaviors that are seen over time that bring the staff to a point where they want to have conversations about whether or not we have the right supports and whether or not that student is a threat or to himself or to others in the school setting or even outside of school. So, but it's research-based. It's provided by the Illinois Terrorism Task Force. Is that who does the training?
Illinois School and Campus Safety.
Yeah. Illinois School and Campus Safety Program. So it's a really beneficial training for our staff. We started with administrators, and then we expanded it to other support personnel in our school, social workers, psychologists, counselors, deans, and then we're also going to have some teachers take the training this time.
Because 30 people, that goes really quickly in a school.
We don't have a district
with 15, 16 schools.
They only allow 100 people to participate in the training. Because we're hosting it, they gave us 30 of those slots. But it's for this whole area, Northern Illinois area.
Okay. I think I learned something. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. And then our last item, Mr. Baer gave us a construction update of things that are going to start happening this summer. Some of the items that we already approved, the bid openings are actually tomorrow for the vestibule work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I did forget to kind of mention about the, when I said talk about the communication, the safety communication, I know Mrs. Smith's working on developing kind of how we're going to start rolling things out to the community and how what all that's going to look like. So that'll be coming forward in the future.
By the start
for the new website?
Yeah, and the communication parts. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Our next important committee is the policy committee.
If we've learned nothing else this calendar year, we've learned that when you don't have a meeting the month you're supposed to have it, Mr. Moore, the stack becomes 1,000 pages. Which is pretty much where we were when we met on April 30th. There were five board members there. We spent just about the first hour of that meeting going over new policies for the discipline procedures for the district. And if I'm saying this mistakenly, please one of you correct me. I believe that that material will now be in student parent handbooks. Is that correct? And a lot of what we did was align things, move things to where they needed to be rather than having them in disparate places throughout the handbook, but rather aligned things. And that took a great deal of time and effort, but that was taken care of. We moved on to 15 policies. Press recommends changes to us. And as because we are not experts, we do bow down to what press says we should do, but we do go through them and work through them. And you will find 15 of those items that we discussed that evening tonight on the consent agenda. We are meeting again on the 25th of June because we are nowhere near done with all of the different policy changes that we need to look at. We really trust and put a lot of faith in what Mr. Moore tells us to do on this because, of course, we can read and reread and reread and we can discuss and barter and ask about certain phraseologies, but the truth of the matter is what press puts out for us, for the most part, we need to go with and understand, not just blindly take it, but to understand. Would that be a fair estimate of the procedure, Mr. Moore?
Yes.
So we will look forward to finishing it out. I believe there are at least another 25 to 30 policies that we will be looking at on the 25th of June. You will notice tonight that the discipline procedures are on for action. The remainder of the discussion items from the policy meeting will be on consent agenda. And again, we meet again the 25th of June, which is a Monday night at 5 o'clock.
Our next important committee is community relations. Ms. Weibel.
Thank you, Madam President. Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about community relations that met on Wednesday, May 9th. So we recognize two groups of students, that we also recognize the VEI students from North, so I won't reiterate that, and Carmelo Furio, who placed first for editorial writing at the IHSA Journalism State Finals from East, so we recognize her as well. Our student liaisons came in and spoke with us about some things they were excited about. They talked about prom and post-prom at both schools. They were successful. So it went incident-free, and everyone had a great time. So we were happy to hear that. The excitement about the East and North baseball game, which at Kane County's Cougar Stadium, which is tomorrow night at 7. So anyone that wants to attend, please do so. Also, they talked a little bit about Unify, which is the finals. I'll see if I can get this right. The finals, the way to do finals online, it's software, right? So it's a system that the school uses for building for classroom-based online assessment. The departments are working together to build more common assessments, and the data from those tests are helping for plan instruction. So the students' concern was, would they be able, God bless you, by the way, would they be able to do it on paper as well? And so they said, yes, please talk to your teachers if you had concerned about that. The district administration stated that the students can request to take their finals on paper or have paper next to them if they wanted to kind of do a comparison as they were going. They just needed to talk with their instructor. And Dr. Pearson brought up a great point, which is discuss how assessments are moving forward towards more online formats. This gives teachers the ability to gather data and evaluate the curriculum. It's also noted that most high-stakes testing are done online, PARC, PSAT, SAT, etc. And this is a transition period for staff and students. So this is a little bit of a learning curve. So as we move forward, we ask that everyone have patience and continue to give us feedback. So we ask the students to give their teachers feedback as well as administration. And this is the first semester that we're going to attempt that all finals are done online. So our first presentation was from two students from North, Michael and Lane? Lane, okay, thanks. And Lane from North High School, and they presented an app called Simple Grades. So I'm just gonna go from the cuff on this because it was pretty awesome. So Simple Grades imports information from Hack into a more, sorry, to Hack, but a more user-friendly application that can identify the grades for your student, the grade point. It can identify if your current quarter, current semester. Currently, they have 1.5 thousand daily active users and 4,000 downloads. So this app also allows the students to organize their class schedule, get up-to-date information on their grades. It includes an online planner, a grade calculator. It's pretty awesome. We were all awed and amazed, I have to say. We were kind of shocked by it. And so parents can use the app as well. Dr. Pearson encouraged them to get into the Educator EDU program, Accelerator EDU program, and Incubator Accelerator EDU program. And we were really impressed. But I suggest anyone look for it on the App Store and download it. It's really helpful. I personally use it as well. Very, very effective. So we happened to, ironically, also have Incubator EDU Dr. Byrne there as well. I guess, administrator for that program, right? And so she was there presenting with our downtown partnership partners, Mrs. Laura Purdy. And so they discussed about who would be there for kind of the support for that program. So they talked about how there would be coaches and mentors and board members, and there would be about 40 coaches and 40 board mentors and 20 board members, and kind of how that broke down in working with our students for that course over the process of 2 years. So there's two sections. Each section has approximately 24 students and two sections per high school right now. So there's be a launch kind of kickoff in August. And we just talked about what a great learning environment it is for the students. And so we talked about more awareness via communication with Mrs. Smith on the website and our great new district website and how we can get community more involved. Some of our community coaches on that would be Mrs. Purdy herself, Mayor Rogina, Mr. Jim DeCala, who is the president of the Chamber of Commerce, the St. Charles Chamber of Commerce, for instance, and so there's quite a few people involved in that. Mrs. Smith did a social media analytics report, which we decided we were going to roughly get quarterly updates on, And so the we discussed 45% followed of people out there followed the district's Facebook. That was from the community survey results. And then the district Facebook has gained 433 followers from August to current. And so there's a total of 4,060. So that was about a 10% increase. And the Twitter and our Twitter page has 3,857 followers. And there's a gain of 253 on that one. So that was a little bit less, but we're very excited about the growth in that. And that we talked about the new website. There's a lot of talk about the new website and how excited we are for it. And it will be more robust and give us the ability to see where the users are going, how long they're on a page, where they're landing, etc. And our analytics will be quite extensive on that as well. So at this time, we have to schedule all the meetings. So we will post all that. After tonight, we'll have to figure all that out. So I think that was it. Anything else you'd like to add? Okay. I also have a little bit of a DPTO update, if you want to hear that. It's kind of brief, but so we had a DPTO meeting, and I went on our behalf on April 18th. It was Wednesday as well. We did a field trip, which was pretty awesome, and we went to the PLTW classes at the Thompson 7th and 8th Grade Center. And we went to three different classrooms, and it was all 8th graders, correct? I think so. And so we did two classrooms that were flight and space, PLTW, and one classroom that was energy and environment. So in the flight and space classroom, Mr. Hensel taught one of those classes, and he was making gliders out of balsa wood, and there were kind of measuring how they were shooting and marking time and air, and they were having a little bit of like a Pinewood Derby, but in the air contest with it eventually. So we got to see kind of the process of how they do that. And what was great about it is to see how intense the kids were and how focused they are in that class. So that was pretty neat. And then in Mr. Harmon's class, they were making hot air balloons out of tissue paper and also very focused. So it was just great. Example of how the kids are engaged in those two different environments. So we saw a couple projects. They do a bunch of other projects like a box and the little car, I don't know, all sorts of cool stuff. And then Mr. Coyle in Energy and Environment was doing wind turbines. So they actually did the wind turbines to come up with a low-cost solution for the city of St. Charles. So in smaller version. They were measuring the shape and weight of the blades to spin versus how many weights they were lifting at the same time. So it was kind of a measure and guessing game. So it was pretty neat to watch that. And the kids were super into that because it was a little bit of a contest. And I don't know if you know, but kids are a little bit competitive. So it was fun to kind of see them kind of go to town with that. And it was nice for the DPTO to kind of see what one of our programs is like, and the parents to get a bird's eye view of what that's like. So it was interesting to have that field trip, and it was their annual field trip. So, and I believe they meet this Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be the 16th. That is all I have. Thank you.
Very good. One other question would be, did the Housing Commission meet?
We did not. So the Housing Commission was waiting for some analytics from something with the county. So we actually pushed our meeting from last week to, I believe it's May 24th, which makes me triple booked that night, but I'm going to try to go. So it's this Thursday after business services. So I'm going to try to scoot over there. So I will have to give that update next time.
Business services? Is this Thursday? Next Thursday.
Sorry, not this Thursday, next Thursday. I'm a week off. And also the minutes for community relations, because we're so tight to this meeting, are not going to be approved for this meeting. They'll be on next month's, June's agenda. So,
okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. A couple other little things, other things that I had attended were the intergovernmental meeting where city feels like things are going well, Park District is ready for summer, the pools are filled, and they're waiting for the kids to be out of school. The city talked about that we might see some action on the St. Charles, no, on the Charlestown Mall property coming up. And the library is connected now to a
large area group called SWAN. I don't know what it means, but SWAN, and it is improves access for us and I think 100 other libraries to really, you know, share resources and really extends our reach and their reach. The reason I wasn't a DPTO is trying to remember why, and it's because I went as the board's representative of the Fox Valley Career Center at Kalen High School to give a evaluate six students who were up for Student of the Year and a small scholarship, and that's always an excellent thing to do to see how prepared these kids are and excited about what they're doing and excited about their future. There was a student here from our district who acquitted themselves very well at that. I attended the two plays and they were wonderful. The school should be very proud of their students. And just a reminder that Wednesday is St. Charles East's Honors Night. Sunday last week was North's. Thursday was wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Fairgrave, for attending with me. And if anybody wants to go, please just let them know. There's always extra chairs anyway, but it's an amazing night. I think that is it for reports. Does anyone else have anything?
Sorry, I have one more thing I forgot to say, Mrs. Galt. So I attended Anderson School. Is it okay if I go into that? Sorry, really quick. So Anderson School had a Meet the Principal evening, and so I did attend. I popped in there, and that was pretty amazing. So Mr. Jarrett was there, as well as Mrs. Gonzalez, and they did a transitional kind of introduction from principal to principal to their student and parent population. And there was parents that currently go to Anderson who are slated to go to Anderson. They both spoke so eloquently. Their energy is both really alive, so it was great to see, and so was Mrs. Galtz as well. So it was great to see their very vibrant presentation, and everyone was very excited about the programs coming in and kind of the zhuzh of energy that's going to be coming into Anderson. And I think the parents that are now rezoned there seemed very pleased with what the changes are going to be and excited for the future. So I was really excited to kind of got caught up in all the excitement with it about how energetic and optimistic everyone was. So it was really great to see just everyone go into what their goals are and what their communication methods are and what their ideas are and hear parents be able to ask questions. And it was a question and answer kind of at the end. So it was really an awesome experience. So
that's
thank you for sharing it with me.
Thank you for mentioning that,
yeah,
because it is important. And I know that students have been visiting schools and parents have been visiting new schools. And to hear that is very heartening.
I know. It was great.
I think we all feel that it'll go well, but it's good to hear that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is it for committee reports. We have one action item. May I have a motion on the District 303 discipline procedures? Mrs. Linkemer, and a second?
Second.
Mrs. Fairgrave, thank you. Okay, so this is the new format that was discussed by Mrs. Linkemer for the student discipline handbook, as I think most people would know it. So is there any conversation? I think there might be a couple of lingering questions.
All right, so I'll jump in. So I did have a question. In reviewing it, I noticed a point I wanted to ask administration about. That we did not discuss at policy. So I apologize that we did not talk about it at policy, but I didn't notice it in the 600 some pages. So it is on page 74. It's for ID cards. Let's see if I can load up here. Hang on a second. So if you can go to page 74, ID cards. It looks like we changed the wording from ID cards 6 to 12 from carry to wear. And I'm wondering if we can get some discussion about that in regards to kind of the reasoning for that and how we're going to execute that with staff.
So this was a recommendation from the principals at the high school. They were wanting our students to have IDs on them. You know, as we have had discussions this spring related to safety and security in our buildings, they wanted to be able to look at someone and know that they belong there. I think that this is not different than what we see in the workplace in many places today. Outside of the school community. And so in the past, the policy was you had to have it on you and be able to present it at any time. They want to be able to look at students and know that they're supposed to be there by having correct identification. So they're working on a process at the high school. I talked to Dr. Kyle this morning. They're getting some cool lanyards and breakaway lanyards and color-coded things that students will be able to use and have, and they plan on distributing those. So they'd like to try it and see if that helps with some of the safety and security questions at the building.
So just to clarify, because this is a decent amount of students, it's, you know, almost 4,500 students, so it's going to be a little bit harder to enforce than maybe at the middle school level. So could you walk us through maybe how they're going to try to do that? Or?
Yeah, so, you know, we are not the first high schools to require students to wear IDs, so, we certainly can learn from others. It has to be established as an expectation, and staff have to hold students accountable. You know, one of the nice things about at our high schools is we do have dean's assistants, so, as students are coming through the hallway, they'll be able to look to see if students have on their IDs, and they'll have to be reminded probably a couple of times. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I don't know if the principals know if it's going to work or not, but they would like to try.
Is it a recommendation from the safety committee or the principals?
So
or are they on the safety?
It came from the principals, but it went through the discipline committee. So they made the changes in the discipline handbook, which have representation from the high schools, the middle schools, and the elementary schools.
Just as long as we understand there's going to be some flexibility with this group, because I think a lot of the students have it scanned on their phone and they feel like that would be sufficient, so we just have to retrain. So I guess that's my concern. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, I understand.
Okay.
Anytime we make a change of that magnitude, it does take some time to do that, and I am quite confident in our high school staff and being able to figure out a plan.
And then how are we going to communicate this to students, parents, and staff? Is it going to be this spring or in the fall?
What I believe to be the case is that it will start with the freshman orientation activities and then will be communicated to the classes as they come through for their registration and material pickup day. I'm sure that they'll probably also use some other school-based communication platforms, sending an email out to parents, sending text messages out, and those kinds of things. Maybe they might even put a video together for their morning announcements, just to remind students of what the safety procedures are in the building.
It's really just about training the other three grades. So we'll just highlight that it's for safety measure, and I think that will help, and that it's something that's fairly normal practice in other high schools. Just as long as we're making sure we're communicating expectations and procedures and that sort of thing. So, okay, perfect. That's all I wanted to highlight that. Thank you, Mrs. Yule.
Thank you, and that's a good point. And I would just like to check on that if you look at our board book, the changes are just voluminous, but a lot of it is just format. And so do you have a way, do you have any concern that students will not be paying attention to this? I mean, I know they can sign their name on the piece of paper. And is there any plan to roll this out and make sure that students realize that there's a little bit of a change here?
So most of the changes are not substantive as far as changes in policy or procedure. This is the first time in as long as I've been here, so 8 years, that we've had the attorneys review the handbook. And so they went through and made corrections based on the guidelines that they have, and helped us with some of the legal references that need to be in place. And then they also helped, with the committee and the attorney's help, we just moved things to where it made more sense. So there was a lot of movement and not a lot of change in content. You know, we did keep the chart, the discipline chart, and any change in there really is in response to Senate Bill 100, which has been in place in, you know, for a couple of years now, and just trying to clean it up. So I don't know that from a student's perspective that they're going to notice a whole lot of changes other than, you know, the IDs and a couple of things like that. It's mostly a cleanup and really making sure we have all the correct information in there that we're required to have.
Just clarify one more thing. So the electronic use is not really a change, right? Correct. So like phone usage and that.
So as we've rolled out Chromebooks at the middle schools and the high schools, the staff and the administration have provided feedback, you know, that so the thing with cell phones is that sometimes they are used for instructional purposes. And so in the past, the policy has basically said it's up to the classroom teacher to make a decision about whether or not students can use them in the classroom. I think this year at the high school, the math department tried to kind of say we're not going to use them in math. We're going to use our other resources and tools. And they felt like that was a successful implementation. And I think there's some other departments that want to maybe change that. In the actual policy, it still allows that discretion. I think the schools are looking at possibly moving to a more restrictive practice related to cell phones in the classroom. I don't know that we would want to do that at the policy level because we still want to make sure that our staff have the flexibility that they need should they find a use that is instructional, which in some classrooms they do. You know, there may be an app or some resource that they want to allow students to use.
Okay, does anyone else have any questions? No, no further discussion.
Just one quick comment on the IDs. That is a safety issue. I agree with what we're doing. One of the things that tends to happen is students may have multiple IDs for multiple students. It becomes a much more difficult thing if it's worn around their neck for somebody to come in the building who maybe is using an old ID or something like that. So if the ID is being worn on a lanyard, I think it provides a much more safe environment, or at least assists in that.
And it gets them ready for the workforce too, when they're likely to wear. Heck, if do you have yours on right now?
I don't.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
It's in the
oh
car.
Well. All right. Okay. Mrs. Bradford, will you take the vote, please?
Mr. Gaffney. Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Second.
And a second by Mr. McNally. Does anyone wish anything to be removed from the consent agenda and considered separately? Okay, none heard. So, Mrs. Retro, will you take the roll call vote, please?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. We have some four information items today. There are freedom of information requests. There are several. And then we have the financial reports for both CUSD 303 and Mid Valley for March. Also, there is a for information item on the agenda for the amended budget update for fiscal year 2017-18. So this is for the current budget. Dr. Chapman, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. I think we've got a PowerPoint deck that's getting loaded. I do want to note that in your board packet, there is a memo that talks about the amended budget, but actually highlights the IMRF unfunded liability portion. So this will cover the amended budget, but also, as we've talked about the unfunded liability the last two business services meetings, we wanted to make a point to highlight that this evening. So this shall be fairly brief. You can ask questions if you have any. The amended budget that, as Mr. Manheim mentioned earlier, went on public display May 7th, must go for a 30-day period, and so that meets the requirement to meet our June 11th board meeting for a public hearing and approval. Our FY18 amended budget on the revenue side is plus $5.49 million on the total budget and $4.4 million on the operating. I want to provide both of those for you because, as you know, we are in a construction year, and our budget overall as a total is a deficit in construction, yet we are not a deficit when we look at just our operating funds. That increase of $4.49 million will be distributed among several funds. I should back up a second and just say the timing of this year's budget approval, which happened back at September, happened right before the state announced the new formula, the new general stated formula, also known as the evidence-based model. That formula, which was up in the air for several months, was finalized, as you know, about a month ago, which generated additional revenue for the district. So that is partially why we are doing this amended budget, which is something we don't do every year. As I've got up there, you can see the funds that are impacted for the good in terms of revenue. And then in italics, I'm noting anything that's related to construction. You can see we are also increasing $1 million to capital project funds, and that's due to land cash payments. We did have two developments that came in relatively early in the fiscal year, but late in the budget process. It was Prairie Winds and the Norton Lakes developments, which resulted in just over $1 million in additional land cash revenue. On the expense side, when we look at the expense overall, we're looking at a negative $260,000. And then a plus $2.69 million when we look at the operating budget. I'll explain that in a moment. Our education fund, an increase of 940. Both of these items, by the way, you've already approved as a board. We talked about these back in February, and you approved them, I believe, at the April board meeting. $940,000 to accommodate various network and infrastructure expenses, and then $1.75 million to accommodate a deferred bus replacement plan that will now catch us up as a district. So the big highlight is this unfunded liability payment. And as the memo indicates, it's actually known as the Unfunded Accrued Actuarial Liability, UAAL. And for those that want to see the calculation, it is in your memo. We as a district are very much like other districts in which the Great Recession of 2008 created a deficit in the amount that is owed for the IMRF pension, which is required to be 100% funded. As such, we are now, currently, as of December 31, 2017, unfunded in the amount of $14.9 million. And what they do is they add an additional percentage on to our IMRF payment every year in order to meet that requirement. Thankfully, we've had a good economic year, which helped us catch up a little bit. The intention of this is actually to shift money. We're not adding cost. We're shifting money out of the 200 line items, which is a benefit line item, out of the education fund, and putting that into the benefit line item out of the Fund 50 IMRF pension fund. So it's a $3 million shift, and the intention of that is to pay down a portion of that unfunded liability and realize cash flow savings starting in fiscal year 2020 of $215,000. And that number will grow as time goes on, as our payroll goes up in terms of IMRF salaries as well. The last item, bless you, in italics relates to the construction fund. We do have an increase in $1 million for secured school entrances. You as a board approved that, and that work will be taking place under Mr. Baird's supervision this summer. To provide secure entrances in those schools that do not have them. And so we're taking that land cash money that we talked about earlier and applying that directly to that project. We also have a decrease of $4 million to adjust for middle school construction, and really this just relates to a timing delay in terms of when we were billed for the construction project. Those payments will eventually be paid in the following fiscal year. So just a quick comparison. In this kind of snapshot of our original budget is a clip from the page 2 budget summary. So if you want to go back and look at the amended budget, you can see this. I know it's a little small on your screen. Thankfully, at least a few of you are close. What I want you to just focus in on, and I will speak to this, is our amended budget. In that last column, you can kind of compare these two numbers. So as you go kind of by fund, you can see what we're doing here to each fund based on the amended budget. You can see a slight increase in where we stand in the educational fund. Coming into that right around $2 million is what we intend to allocate towards construction, as you as a board asked us to. You can see the transportation fund. We increased the general state aid monies into those funds to come close to a balance. And then here in the capital projects funds, you can see that $1 million add and then $4 million drop, netting to a $3 million decrease overall. So that's a net at the bottom here. Our amended total budget will now go from a deficit of $25,547,000 to a deficit of $19,747,033, and our amended operating budget will go from a 1.773695 surplus to a estimated $3.5 million. And again, $2 million of that is earmarked for construction. I'm sorry?
$2 million at the bottom.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. So, and ideally we'd like to hit that $2 million on the nose, but with the additional state funding, which of course is a nice thing, we will be above that number by the time we close the fiscal year. Any questions?
Can you just mention the timeline for the amended budget process?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yep. So as I mentioned earlier, that's been put on public display. It's at the library as well as at the District Administration Center. We will have a public hearing on June 11th at the board meeting. Following that hearing will be the item for action. And then once that's complete, we'll be finished with the amended process, and you as a board will essentially have directed us to make that $3 million payment to IMRF, which we will do that following week. Other questions?
No, that's good. I think we've seen it a couple times, so that's a couple months for sure, so that's good to know. So next month, we will be voting on this and looking at the next budget.
So at the committee level, you're going to look
at the
next
level.
Budget,
okay.
And then you'll be voting on this at the board level. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Anybody, any questions? Okay. Go ahead.
Not a question about the budget. I recall there was an issue about timing of display, and it, I don't recall what that was.
We're okay as long as we didn't have to repost the budget. So we posted on May 7th. If for some reason you as a board, you know, wanted to make any changes, then we would have an issue in terms of the timing. We would have had to have a special meeting later in June. But we're okay now.
Okay, yep. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that was for information. So I'd like to move to new business. Does anyone have any new business that they want to bring up? Nope. Okay, now we're going to do something that we don't do too often, so we need directions. The board will reconstruct itself as we do every year. It used to be every 2 years, but now it's every year to vote on new officers. So I will be turning the meeting over to Mrs. Ratchford, but to do that, may I have a motion? Tell me if I do anything wrong.
You're doing great.
Okay. Wouldn't want to. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Actually, we have to do this first.
We have to do what first?
I have to be president pro tem.
Correct. Right. I was going to go to Sine Dai.
I do that.
You do that?
Yes.
Okay. It was number one on my sheet, so I thought that was okay. So may I have a motion to appoint the president pro tem as Chris Ratchford? Oh, thank you. Mrs. Weibel and Mr. McNally. You can take the vote, please.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkerman?
Yes, the motion carries. So we're so glad you're back.
Thank you. And then now I need a motion to adjourn the meeting sine die. And thank you. And now a roll call. Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes.
And now I will call for nominations for board president. Do I have a nomination? Are there any other nominations? And then just one more time, the last time. Any other nominations for board president? No? Okay. Then do I have a motion to close the nominations and cast a ballot for Mrs. Huell as the board president?
So moved.
Mm-hmm. And a second?
Second.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And now I'll take the roll call. Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Peregrief?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney? Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes.
All right. And I turn the meeting back over to you.
That simple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you all for that vote. And now it is time to ask for nominations for vice president. May I have a nomination? I may have a motion, please. Oh, that's good. Thank you. And a second? I heard Mrs. Linkemer first, but okay. Second. So are there any other nominations for vice president? And a third time, are there any other nominations for vice president? None heard. So I have the second already. I've done the second. So would you just please take the vote, please?
Mrs. Fairfield?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs.
Hill? Yes. Congratulations, Mr. Mannheim. Now, may I have a nomination for secretary, please? Can I?
I will nominate Lori Linkemer.
Thank you. That's Mr. McNally. And may I have a second? Thank you, Mr. Mannheim. Okay. May I have any other nominations for secretary? Or are there? Are there any other nominations for secretary? And are there any other nominations for secretary? I do not hear any, so I have a motion and a second. Would you please take the vote?
Mr. Gaffney. Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel. Mrs.
Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mrs.
Hill? Yes. Motion carries. Congratulations, Madam Secretary. Actually, this is one I always forget. May I have a nomination for treasurer? And we know who that should be. Thank you. And is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Weibel, a second. Ms. Weibel, I'm sorry, a second. Is there any other nomination for treasurer? Anybody willing to take that on? And a third time, is there any nomination for treasurer? None other heard. Close nominations, and I'd like to, this is different, cast a ballot of unanimous consent. Would you take the vote?
Yes.
We'll take a vote. Please.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
I'm not sure what this means, but yeah.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Oh, thank you. I would say yes, too. Thank you. Congratulations, Dr. Chapman. Yeah. He can't get up. Oh, okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Onward and upward. Another good year coming up. The next item is an action item to set the, may I have a motion to set the school board meeting calendar as in your packet?
So
moved. Mr. McNally?
Second.
Mr. Mannheim, a second. It's toward the end. Yeah, way down. Down where we usually don't have action items. So that was Mr. McNally and Mr. Mannheim.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much discussion, but those are our meetings. We will determine as a board if we still like to go to schools every other month in our summer retreat sometime in the summer. We'll determine that. It doesn't have to be the retreat, I suppose. And also we will then at that time when we meet together talk about our committee times, committee days and times, so that we are all on board. Okay, so that will happen later in the summer. We don't have to approve that. All right, so I have the motion, a second. Any other questions? Nope, nothing. Okay, Mrs. Ratchford?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairbrief?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries. Very good. So we have one more thing to do. May I have a motion to adjourn closed session by roll call vote for the purpose of appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific bodies of employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity?
So moved.
Thank you. Second is Mr. McNally. Would you take that vote?
Mm-hmm. Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
No.
Mrs. Linkerman?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries. Thank you all for coming. We will not be coming back into open session for any reason, but thank you. And, two things is our June meeting. We'll be back in the administration office, and I think that's it. Have a good end of the school year, everyone, and your families.